Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Check out Reverend Guitar's incredible range of artist signature models. With nearly as many artist line guitars as they do in their standard range, there is something for every type of player, and always with a wonderful twist. Check out the Bob Balch and Robin Fink signature models based on the Reverend Sensei standard model. These double cut set neck Carina body classics are set apart by some wonderful subtle differences. New for 2020, and unlike the standard Sensei, the Balch features a gorgeously contoured body, Reverend's famous additional bass contour control, and Balch's own signature set of Railhammer humbucking pickups, perfect for all that fuzzalicious tone. The Fink, on the other hand, streamlines and modernizes the classic body shape with minimal contours, ebony board, flat black or white finishes, a pickguardless appearance, and only the volume and Reverend bass contour controls. Both guitars offer different but wonderful reincarnations of the classic Reverend Sensei. Check them out along with the rest of Reverend's substantial range of guitars and basses at reverendguitars.com. Speak to a lot of Nashville session greats about their favorite overdrive pedal, and plenty will point to one box, the ODR1 from Nobels. Fast forward to 2020, and the original 1993 release has had a few tweaks to introduce the ODR1 BC. This legendary drive pedal now includes a built-in bass cut, allowing the player to tame some of that wild low end, while single coil users can still access the harmonically rich full range of the ODR1. There really has never been a better time to own this absolute cult classic transparent overdrive pedal to deliver creamy natural overdrive. Everything from pushed clean amp tones to gain-filled stacks. This legendary pedal is guaranteed to be a big part of your sound. Available from all good guitar shops, or visit nobels.de for more info. Hello and welcome to the Guitar Nerds Podcast, the world's number one guitar podcast. I am your host, Joe Branton, and I'm joined this week by Jay Cross.
Can I introduce you, please, to a lump of cheddar cheese?
Mark Packham.
You really are a mad man.
And Matthew Knight.
Hello.
Yes, that's right.
I've been watching a lot of Toast of London this week, Joe.
Oh, so good.
Oh, yes. Toast of London is an excellent.
It's just you, and the more I think about it, the more that annoys me.
What's that man's name?
Matt Berry.
Matt Berry. I can't believe he played guitar on the Desert Sessions with Josh Holm. That's incredible.
He's
what an incredible
in
man.
Toast of London, isn't he?
Yeah.
Josh Holm is in one episode.
Oh, is he?
Really weirdly, he's in an episode of Toast of London.
That's so good. I need to watch that. Do you know what? I've only watched maybe two episodes of Toast of London, just the first two, and it didn't quite grab me, but I feel like it's one of those shows that you need to just keep on with.
Yeah, just put it on.
Because I think loads of it's driven by Matt Berry, and he's just really weird.
Yeah, Matt
Berry
loads
of stuff is... There was another program he did way before that.
Year of the Rat or something? Way of the Rat?
It was with the guy that was also in Mighty Boosh. And it's like a sketch show where they both play... Their main characters, they both play hangmen. Yeah. And it's just bizarre.
Yeah.
But he does all the music. That's the thing. He's like... Yeah. He loves like... playing guitar, and
that's where he,
like,
that famous
music.
Sketch comes from with his big finger. Is from
yes,
that,
yeah, where he's trying to teach
play
everyone
guitar
to play
with
guitar.
One big finger.
Get him on the podcast. Get Matt Berry on.
I would love to get Matt Berry on the podcast. That would be absolutely fantastic. I mean, everything he does is brilliant. Even like on the It Crowd, to have to fill Chris Morris's shoes as the replacement character for that is big shoes to fill, and I think he did an excellent job there.
Yeah, he's very good, very good.
Apologies, listener, if you're not into sort of really niche UK comedy.
UK comedy. No. Can you apologise to me as well?
Yes, I'm sorry, Jay. I am sorry.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yes. Anyway, yes, we're back again on another episode of the Guitar Nerds podcast. And we've got lots to talk about. There are some news things, but also we've been checking out some new bits and bobs, some very exciting things. Both me and Matt have got some new gear to talk about. But before we do anything else, we need to introduce our new patrons. And then, of course, everyone, it's the giveaway announcements. We're announcing the big pink giveaway winner today, and
depending on who wins, this might be the last episode of Guitar Nerds, because if we have to ship this to like Australia,
there were a lot of entries from the Philippines when I was pulling all of the names across, which would be, I imagine, equally expensive, so we'll see, you know, fingers crossed.
Before you get fully into the podcast, Joe, and before you go into the Patreons, mm-hmm. the Patreons. It's 7 years to the day tomorrow that we started podcasting. First ever GAC episode, I believe, went out or was recorded on the 5th of May, and it's the 4th of May as we're recording this. So seven whole years.
That's ridiculous. That is absolutely ridiculous. And to think, the only reason I'm involved is because my girlfriend had just broken up with me and you felt sorry for me.
Well, so it was just fun. It was a real fun time in my life managing your booziness and like recording quality of the podcast. It's quite a nice challenge every week. And now we have to do that with Joe. So
absolutely.
So nothing changes.
Well, except for he's in charge of both of those things.
Oh no, that's the problem.
Think about how
we can't even reach him with it with the poking stick. The poking stick's still just here at my house, and it's not long enough to reach to his house.
I'm so glad that we're remote now, and I don't get poked all the time. But think how much we've changed in 7 years,
Joe. Nothing has changed. Yeah, I was going to say, have we changed? What has changed between nothing?
Yeah, at least now when we record, I get to sit at a desk that's like actual desk height rather than sort of chin height and sitting on a weird bar stool.
I reckon we've all put on a decent 20 pounds.
Oh, I'm much heavier. Much heavier than I was.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Then.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Oh, dear. But yeah,
Oh, well, there we are. 7 years. How wonderful. Well, we wouldn't be doing
of
this.
That's enough reminiscing.
Yeah, enough reminiscing. We wouldn't be doing any of this without the help of our patrons. So I would like to welcome aboard our new Patreon supporters. So welcome to Ian. He only used the name Ian. But actually, Ian did message us to say thank you, Jay, for pointing out that Patreon actually supports via its own RSS feed, meaning that you don't have to change your podcast app. You can use the same podcast app and simply port all of the new Guitar Nerds content across into it.
Welcome, Ian.
Well done. And we also have a Herding Movement has joined us.
That's like a name out of Toast of London. Herding Movement.
Yeah, I didn't check it. It's probably another Patreon account. I haven't checked actually. It's probably like another profiled account rather than a user, sort of in that sense.
Herding. Herding. If that is your real name, please do let us know, because that is amazing.
Sid Finley, welcome, Sid.
That's another name from Toast of London. What's going on?
And Christopher Sun as well. And also to Scott Utting, who has upgraded to the $10 tier. Welcome to the Patreon exclusive song, Scott. Thank you for joining us.
Do you think we'll ever get to a point where... Do you think we will ever podcast for long enough that someone will become a Patreon backer who wasn't born when we started podcasting?
What, you mean one episode?
Yeah. What?
I know we talk for a long time, but not that long.
No, I mean, you know, will anyone become a Patreon backer? Like, because I assume we haven't got any 7-year-old Patreon backers, you know. But you know,
maybe.
I guess that's a question. That's a question for the listeners instead. Is, you know, if you've been listening for this period of time, or even if you, well, I mean, you know, even if you haven't, what's changed? What's changed? Have you had kids that have been born whilst we've been podcasting?
More importantly, have you made some children while listening to the podcast?
Oh, no. No.
I think we'd be a good assist to...
Excuse
to,
me?
Pardon?
Oh, right.
It would be a good assist to that sort of thing, you know?
And, well, you know, sometimes Joe just really needs to just re-listen to the audio. And, you know, it goes out late at night, so he's got... Sometimes there's just no chance. Joe has made love whilst listening to the podcast.
He just has to
we
have it on.
We really
in the background.
Got it together, baby, didn't we? We really got it together. Anyway, we do need to announce the winner of our giveaway because a month ago, and for the last month, we've teamed up with Tate Effects, Marcus Deluxe pedal boards, Ashdown amplification, Bright Onion pedals, Gravity Picks, and Ernie Ball with all of their accessories to give you a load of stuff available in this giveaway. So there was a pink Tate Effects Antares. There's a relict pink Marcus Deluxe pedal board. There's a load of accessories from Ernie Ball, cables, wristbands, strings, and Ernie Ball pint glass, pink plectrums. We're also throwing in a load of Guitar Nerd's Gravity plectrums. There's a Bright Onion pedals pink ABY switcher with a Guitar Nerd's logo on it, and an Ashdown Rootmaster single 15 bass cabinet in pink as well. All of that stuff is going to be won by one person. There have been nearly 1,500 entries into this giveaway, so it's literally taken me the entire day to look at all the Instagram and Facebook entries and
great use of
across.
Your time. Well, oh, no, we can spend all day on that just to give away a load of stuff for free and cost us about £100
in
shipping.
In postage, yeah. Yeah, retrospectively, this was a terrible idea. But I tell you what it was. It was a good driver for all of our social channels, and I will stand by that as a good reason behind
it. Even
anyway.
Though it isn't true.
Anyway, so we're going to spin the wheel and you know, I'll need a little drum roll from you guys to sort of, you know, to really add to the fanfare here. That's
okay,
what I'm looking for.
Can you hear that?
Yeah, I just maybe sort of like a whoa, like a baseball crowd. Whoa. Whoa. Okay, it's spinning. All right, it's spinning. Okay, it's slowing down. It's slowing down. It's slowing down. Stopped! It's there! Okay, we have a winner. Please be UK-based. Well, actually, it doesn't matter.
Thanks so much, Joe.
We don't mind where this is sending. Well done to Rebecca Bai, who has won this. Rebecca, it looks like you entered on Facebook. So well done to Rebecca Bai, who has won an awful lot of pink things. Congratulations.
Oh,
that's great. Oh, well, that is a good old giveaway there. Now, we also said we'd do another giveaway just to our Patreon backers because... Stuart Tate of Tate Effects has very, very kindly, on top of offering up this custom pink Antares pedal, he has also offered up a limited edition Raise the Dead fuzz with a proper germanium transistor, because that's what we want, proper sort of vintage USSR style fuzz. So he's letting us give one of those away to one of our patrons. So I've popped everyone's name, every active patron, into another spinning wheel. So we're going to go right ahead and spin that wheel. So guys, I'm going to need you again.
Another shepherd tone.
Yeah, I'm ready? Spinning the wheel now. Go.
Oh.
Ooh.
And the wheel is slowing. It has stopped, and the winner is Andy Ronain. Ronain. Well done, Andy. Woo! Well done, Andy. We'll contact you on Patreon to let you know, but you have won yourself a Tate Effects Raise the Dead limited edition germanium transistor fuzz pedal, a fantastic fuzz to raise the dead, just a single control, which is all you need for a fuzz, and this one is wonderful and special and limited edition. Thanks very much to Stuart Tate of Tate Effects for letting us give one of those away to our patrons, our Patreon supporters. If you want to join us on Patreon, then you can do over on patreon.com/guitar nerds. I mentioned it last week and I put up a post on our social about it this week, but we have nearly 500, is it nearly 500 or nearly 400? I think it's nearly 500 episodes of various podcasts available to listen to on our Patreon website, so on our Patreon site. So if you want to fill the time with additional guitar nerdery, everything from Matt and my new series The Pedals That Made Us through to the Branton Rantons, Gear of the Decade, all of the old podcasts are there, all of the Gear of the Year series are there,
also the watch along we did for Spinal Tap.
Yes, that was years ago.
Me, you, and Jay won. I think it was like a Christmas special or something, wasn't it? We got together
at your old flat.
Yeah, Jay had never seen Spinal Tap, so we sort of talked him through it. And you can literally put the movie on, which I think it's still on Netflix. I think I saw it the other day, and have our commentary track, like a director's commentary, over the top.
Yeah. We should do that again for something else.
Yeah, there's
let's do it again for Spinal Tap.
Let's do it again for Spinal Tap 2.
A secondary one. What, there actually was. Was there a Spinal Tap 2?
No, there wasn't a Spinal Tap 2.
A Mighty Wind?
The Mighty Wind was Spinal Tap 2.
The Mighty Wind, yeah.
I went to see that in the cinema. It was wonderful.
I've never seen it.
I didn't realise they had cinemas that. Don't worry.
Yeah, I've never seen it. Is it any good?
It's very good. It's really good. Like some really wonderful sort of hats off to the original and also just like just cast wise it was incredible. You had Catherine O'Hara who was one of the main characters in it, and if you know, do you remember her from, she was in like Beetlejuice and Home Alone.
She's in
Schitt's Creek, and I think she's absolutely one of the funniest people I've ever seen. So she was one of the main characters in A Mighty Wind. And
so it's not a direct sequel, it's just basically the same cast or similar
different characters. Different characters.
Interesting. I'll check that out. That sounds good.
Yeah, absolutely do. It was brilliant. Now,
Spinal Tap a SNL thing, or did it just come out of them doing it?
I think it's just their own thing, but they're, you know, they've done other movies as well. They did Best in Show, which is the dog show one.
Yeah,
which is
that's the one.
Same cast, but
yeah, yeah, Maddie really likes that.
Yeah, I love that film, so good. And Waiting for Guffman as well, which is supposed to be amazing, but I've never seen it.
Right, I see.
Yeah, we should do more of those commentaries. You know, if we don't do that, there's plenty of other guitar films that we could sit and watch. And if we can figure out a way to do it like remotely, maybe we should do some of that over the next few weeks.
We could probably
we can have a watch party.
Yeah, we could probably do it over Discord, and then like other people could join in if they wanted to. I mean,
we could figure out a way to do it. Yeah, all right, sure, leave it with me. I'll have a think.
So anyway, moving on to talk about some actual guitar stuff. We'll start off with you, Matt Knight, because you got yourself a new switching device this week.
Well, you know me; I always buy the Gear of the Years things.
do.
I do. I'm like the only one who constantly gets at least one thing from Gear of the Year.
Well, that's because all of my stuff gets outvoted, and then I don't like any of the things that win Gear of the Year.
I don't think this actually won. I don't think this came in the top three, did it?
Matt, just say what it is, and then I'll say my piece on this.
Okay. I bought an Electro-Harmonix tri-parallel mixer.
Fantastic product. What a wonderful product. Hey, J. Cross?
I think I rated it quite highly on Gear of the Year. I think I said it was a great product.
I just like to say that once again, history will prove me correct. And you lot were all like, oh no, you can't have a utility pedal as Gear of the Year. Rubbish. Wicked pedal, really good value, looks cool, super usable. History will prove me correct, and the rest of you are all idiots. That's my
piece. I always thought it was a good thing, but is it, you know, my gear of the year? Probably not.
I'm just going to say, I'm just saying, history will once again, after the great MXR Isobrick Mini swindle of 2018 or whenever that was.
Call it a swindle.
Once again, history will look favourably upon me.
You know, I use that power supply as my main power supply.
Yeah,
on my
it's
board
bloody
now.
Great. That's why. It's just,
okay, honestly. So I want to understand why and how you've bought a tri-parallel mixer, Matt, when you have an ESA in your rig.
Because the tri-parallel mixer is arguably the gear of the year. Screw everything else. Definitely the best thing that's ever happened. So I briefly mentioned it on last week's podcast. I was looking to do some sort of ambient stuff with a bunch of different pedals, and I was like, right, I really want to, everyone seems to be doing parallel mixing, and I've got a Boss LS2 that does parallel mixing, and I've got a Gig Rig wet box does a similar thing. So basically, for people who just need a bit of background, if you run pedals normally, you're running them in series, so an overdrive would run into your delay, and then the delay would run into the reverb, and the sound spills over from one to the next. When you run it in parallel, you basically split the signal and they run on top of each other, so they never mix. So if you're running a delay and a reverb, you're not running the delays into the reverb. So I was like, that, you know, if you want to do like, you know, you've got like a loop going on the mood, and then you've got some delay stuff going on, you don't necessarily want it all like piling in on top of each other, because you kind of get a kind of mushy sound at the end. So I was like, right, I want to do parallel mixing. Looked at absolutely everything, and I was like, nothing has everything that I kind of imagined I'd need. Then I was like, wait a second, I'm sure I remember Jay Cross talking about the tri-parallel mixer. And I was like, I'll just check it out. And I was like, £108. So I was like, this is just the best thing. So basically, it is a...
Yeah, but it didn't play guitar for the Mars Volta, did it? That's the problem.
It didn't for Joe. I actually said, I was reading the manual. I remember saying on the podcast, I was on the Gear of the Year, I was reading the manual, and I was like, actually, this product looks really good. I'm going to have to buy one at some point. And there we go. I bought one. So it basically allows you to run three pedals in parallel. Each loop can run true bypass or trails, which is really good if you've got a delay pedal like or any of the Boss ones, some of the earlier Boss ones, or some analog delay pedals that have got no delay trails. Has Carbon Copy got trails? I don't think so.
I'm almost sure.
Yeah, so
does.
If you've got a Carbon Copy and you're like, oh, but I love turning the feedback up, but I want to, you know, have like some repeats when I turn it off, for example. So you could do that, and you could run it in a mode where basically you can only have one loop on at a time. So it actually works out as a great little pedal just to give trails to some true bypass pedals, for example. And then you can mix in the send and return level. So you can then run two delays, for example, but mix one louder than the other, which is great there if you want to run the delay pedal mix at 100% wet and then blend in the dry signal, because you've got a dry mix on the parallel looper as well, on the parallel mixer. So what it's allowed me to do is run the mood, a DD200 and a tonal recall all at the same time, without the signal running into each other in like a cascading series fashion. And the sound is incredible. Like running delays, why I've never really done it before, because you can, yes, Joe, you can do it on the ES8, sort of. You can run stuff in parallel, but you've not got trails, you've not got independent mix. So what's great here is you can turn the repeats up on, you know, one delay, have it almost oscillating, but then use the mixer to dial that back and then mix in the feedback from a different pedal, for example. So it's actually like a loop switcher with a mixer built into it as well. So it becomes really hands-on. You can actually start, you know, kind of mixing in some, you can actually start creating some really interesting textures just by using the tri-parallel mixer.
And it's not a lot of money either.
Honestly, it was just over £100. And I was just like, yeah, the feature set's great. You know, you've got true bypass or trails mode. You can run up to three loops at once, or you can run them. They call it exclusive mode. So you can run just one of the three loops. A master bypass. So if you want to just turn everything off, you can.
That's very handy. I like that.
Yeah. So you can turn the... You can set it up so loops individually will have trails mode, but if you double click one of the buttons, the whole thing bypasses. So you can have loads of noise going, and you can bypass the whole thing. Send and return level, which I thought was really handy. So you know, then if you're getting into kind of, you know, reverbs or something, like I said, if you want to run the reverb pedal 100% wet and then blend in the dry signal from the tri-parallel mixer, phase, so you can fix any phase issues. It's just a really versatile utility pedal for £100. I was just like, yeah, this is great, and plugged it in, and just like some of the sound straight away, not running a delay with loads of repeats into a reverb, it just gives so much more clarity. And then you can get little, I was getting sort of like a little loop going on the DD200 and then one going on the Mood, and then blending between the two and then playing guitar over the top of it. And I was like, yeah, this is, yeah, it's just a really interesting way to explore like guitar textures and guitar sounds. But what's cool is you can start doing that with drives. So you can run a fuzz and an overdrive in parallel, and then you can start mixing how much of each one you want in your signal, for example. So you can then really start to kind of dial stuff in. So whether you, most people would use it like live, because you could use it as a loop switcher, that's, you know, you definitely could. But I think as a studio tool, I think it's really interesting, especially if you, you know, you're playing bass and you want to use a drive pedal and blend in a certain amount of dry signal, for example, and go out into recording, you can. I thought that was, or you can run three amps if you really wanted to. You could run two guitars at once, or you could run two synths at once and then use it as a mixer. So there's a lot of sort of versatility. It's like having the everything to do with like a PA mixer, but the fact that you can switch things in and out.
Very cool.
With foot pedals.
Yeah.
So yeah,
this is why this year's gear of last year category got canned, because I kept getting proved right and you lot were embarrassed by it. It was a corporate cover up. That's what happened.
Cut for time, mate. Cut for time.
No, I mean, it sounds great, Matty. It sounds exactly like the kind of reasons that I wanted to give it a go. You know, being able to, as you say, blend in a really overdriven signal with your clean signal. The idea that you can mix your delays and reverbs together without going, without them muddying the pool, is fun. Muddying the pool, you know, that well-known saying.
Yeah.
Don't muddy the pool.
don't muddy the pool.
You get thrown out for that.
Yeah, they don't like that.
That is not social distancing.
It sounds great. I really want to have a go.
Yeah, I just I think I put a short video clip up in the group, but I was just like, I mean, both running series and parallel pedals, you know, both sound great, and you know, just running a delay into reverb is totally fine. But when you can actually like mix that in, and you can run them at the same time, but not into one another, you're like, you get so much more clarity for your guitar sound, and it actually makes more like ambient stuff just sound much better, rather than just like stacking like four delays on top of each other.
Absolutely. You can, yeah, it just, everything gets too much. You lose all definition when you do, especially for ambient stuff. Yeah. I can see this being a fantastic tool for that sort of thing.
Yeah. And then I was like, well, one of the loops, you could run a random tone generator just into the return. And then I'm like, you can then literally have it on all the time. Just when you want it, just bring it in.
Bloody lovely.
Bring it in. Very cool. It's just, you know, it's opened up a whole new world.
Absolutely. Now this week, I've been checking out the Nobels ODR1 BC and the ODR Mini, which are the two Nobel drives, which we've mentioned before. We've spoken a little bit about them before on the podcast. Matt Knight, you're probably the most kind of aware of these, I guess.
Yeah. Do you know, I think we were going to talk about this on the podcast some time ago. And it's a pedal that's always been around, but I've never really known much about it. Like, I've always seen it and people are going, oh, the note. I think it was like legendary within like the Nashville session scene.
That's, yeah, absolutely.
Basically. So the Nobles website actually has some cool history about the ODR1. So basically this guy started developing it, I think, in the early 90s on like some dealer visits. And then basically saw that people had, there were a bunch of different things that people wanted from an overdrive, and all these dealers saying, oh no, everyone wants this and everyone wants this. And he basically went back and basically designed this sort of this circuit that I think is like two different overdrives, like an EQ. And I don't think it ever took off. I think, you know, it went in a green case and everyone was like, oh, it's just a Tube Screamer copy. And I don't think it ever really like exploded in terms of like, oh, this is, you know, the must-have pedal, but kind of like the Klon is now. I think people have used it for years and years and years, and it just seems to be a go-to for quite a lot of people, but it's never really been like,
if you knew about it, you knew about it.
Yeah,
it
exactly
didn't necessarily explode.
But they've always been, the Nobles pedals have always been relatively inexpensive, and I think the Mini is like £69.
Well, that's it. They've updated the ODR1 for 2020, for this year. So they've added, so it's now the ODR1 BC, because they've added inside a little base cut switch. Now, on the Nobels ODR1, the battery compartment is accessible from the top of the pedal. So the switch is actually, they've managed to make that accessible by sort of shortening slightly the battery compartment so that you can get through to the PCB from the front, from the top of the pedal. And you can just about access this tiny little mini switch that says bass just below it. And then it allows you to have a bass cut. Because the ODR1, you know, it's a fantastic sounding drive, but it's so full spectrum. Because it sounds great on bass as well. And obviously great for sort of Teddy players or single coil players, but if you're using an especially thick-sounding sort of humbucking mahogany guitar, perhaps it might be a little bit overpowering. So that bass cut just kind of sorts that out. And now it's 9-volt or 18-volt. So you've got like a ton of headroom. And the thing about the Nobels ODR1 is because it's so, it's a transparent overdrive, but it can do an awful lot of things. Like it's a very, very versatile pedal. For a pedal with three controls, with just drive, level, and then spectrum, which is an incredibly dynamic tone control on the front. So it's now capable of kind of an awful lot of clean headroom as well, which is super cool. And yeah, you're absolutely right. It's like £100. It's like 60, 70 quid, whatever, for the Mini. And the Mini is also 9 or 18 volt as well, which is absolutely fantastic.
Wait, so there's two versions of it now, is there? There's a full size and a Mini.
Yeah, exactly.
This episode of Guitar Nerds is brought to you by Shergo Guitars and their latest electric guitar, the Provocateur. Celebrated by Total Guitar Magazine as one of the most refined single cuts on the market, with endlessly satisfying playability and a flawless set of tones, the Shergo Provocateur combines remarkable specification with a retro vibe for a unique and bona fide rock guitar. From the brand that once powered the likes of Joy Division and is now championed by modern guitar pioneers and So I Watch You From Afar and many others, comes a fresh and exciting range of electric guitars. Designed by legendary British guitar luthier Patrick James Eggle and featuring a roasted mahogany neck and a solid mahogany body loaded with USA-made Seymour Duncan pickups, it's easy to see why Guitarist Magazine officially voted the Provocateur one of the best electrics of 2019. You can find your nearest Shergo dealer at shergoguitars.com. And if you're not in the UK, don't fear. Many UK-based Shergo dealers have super awesome international shipping options to guarantee your Shergo will make it to you in the most far-flung of places. Proudly stand out from the crowd and discover yours today at shergoguitars.com. Shergold Guitars. Be your own original. A homage to the original Ernie Ball Music Man Sabre guitar of the late 70s. Ernie Ball engineers and design team have put a modern spin on the classic instrument for 2020. The Sabre guitar features an Akume body, a carved maple top, and custom Ernie Ball Music Man humbucking pickups, delivering lively, dynamic sound with a striking clarity and sustain. Aesthetically, the Sabre is equally compelling. Its book-matched premium top, adorned with natural binding, which elegantly highlights the raw beauty of the figured maple wood grain. This is a true player's guitar, offered in the Cobra, Bougie Burst, Honeysuckle, and Blue Moonstone finish options. Visit music-man.com to learn more. That's music-man.com. Now, back to the show.
I haven't seen the Mini. That sounds interesting.
Yeah, the Mini's just exactly what you would expect. It's that.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
That standard Mini chassis, same controls, level and Spectrum. But on the Spectrum control, they've put in one of those little clickable midpoints as well, which is quite a nice little feature. But available in both sizes now. But it's an absolutely fantastic pedal. The ODR1, the normal one, it's one of those pedals that looks like it's going to be a plastic chassis. But it is.
I thought they were. I've never held one in real life. I've seen them, but I've never held one.
No, it's a proper sort of full metal chassis. Oh, it actually looks
great
lovely.
Film. Great film. Love it.
Yes, wonderful. It's actually kind of surprisingly sort of attention to detail built up close, you know. Yeah. It looks like one of those sort of 80s plastic pedals at a distance, but. It's really good. I've been really, really impressed with it. I love it. I think it's a fantastic sounding driver. All I ever want from a drive is like a little bit. I don't like drives that do tons. I just want that little bit of clonny sort of warming up valviness. And this does that fantastically. So I am never giving these back. They're really good. Matt Knight.
Yes.
It is your turn this week. In the final episode of the Guitar Nerds mini quiz.
Yes, and I watched, because I thought I was going to get some Rolling Stones questions, I watched the Guitar Nerds video on the guitars of Keith Richards and subsequently forgot everything about it. I'm expecting zero in the following questions rounds.
Well, we will have to see. Now, you don't actually get to choose your rounds because the other guys obviously did that for you. So you have to answer one round on Retro Twangers and two rounds on the Rolling Stones.
Right.
So we're going to have to see how well you do. Mark Packham is leading the pack at the moment with a whopping 4 points. Jay Cross just behind him with 3.
What was it, 4 points out of 9 questions?
Out of 9 questions, yes.
9 or 8? Was it 8 questions?
9 questions.
Oh,
nine
brilliant.
Questions.
Great.
Matty, literally everyone is rooting for you. Everyone in the world except Mark is rooting for you now.
But this will be the second quiz that I've won this week.
That's the real quiz.
Okay, so here we go.
Did you win your family quiz?
Yeah, we did a family quiz where the questions we had to bring a round each, and the questions ranged from like One of my family members is like incredibly well read, and there was questions about, like, you know, historical monuments and stuff like that. And then my mum just comes in with, you know, bear in mind that it was April. My mum came in with, yeah, my round is guess the missing lyric from this Christmas song. No idea why. Just thought that would be appropriate, and then she sang them with the lyric missing, and it was weird.
Wow, that sounds strange.
But I won the quiz, so whatever.
That's super weird. I'll ask her about that later because she didn't tell me. There it is. There, wonderful. Anyway, Matthew Knight. I'll give you this choice, Matt. Would you like to answer one of your two Rolling Stones rounds first, or would you like to answer the Retro Twangers?
Let's go Rolling Stones, Retro Twangers.
Sandwich.
Okay, a Retro Twangers sandwich it is. Here we go, Matthew Knight. Question one in the Rolling Stones questions. What was Keith Richards' first Rolling Stones guitar played throughout 1962?
It was a... Oh, God. I can picture the guitar in my mind. It was some sort of hollow body. I want to say it was a Harmony, but I can't remember the model.
Oh, well, you have got the brand right, Matt. It was a Harmony Meteor H70.
It's my favourite Peter.
I think that's worth 2 points, personally.
Yeah, because, you know, I watched the video as well, so I should get a point for that. All the way to the end, so we get that sweet revenue.
I don't feel I can quite give it to you. I'll think about giving you half a point.
I think it's 2 points, that one.
Okay. Well, we'll give that one some thought. Question two, Matthew Knight. Question two. What finish was Keith Richards' 59 Les Paul Standard known as? Not what was it, what was it known as? Or what is it known as?
Oh. Again, I watched the video, paid attention, then went to sleep and forgot it all. I'm going to say... Believer Burst.
You think it's good?
Believer Burst. That's the only burst I could think of.
Unfortunately, Matt, it was known as Keith Burst. And that is,
I was going to say Keith Burst. And I was like, who calls their guitar? Who went, I'm going to call it Keith Burst? Like,
it's okay.
Call it something much more fun than that.
I'm not sure he named it. I think Gibson probably referred to it as that in their reissues. Anyway.
Like Breakfast Burst or something. that was always the finish. I wanted to do a custom order Les Paul that was called Breakfast Burst and was like the colour palette of a full English breakfast or Egg Burst.
Egg Burst, you know. Definitely Egg Burst.
Brat Burst and have it sausage coloured.
Brat Burst.
Brat Burst.
That's a t-shirt. Joe, I've been thinking we need to do some more t-shirts, and we say something every week that could be a new t-shirt design, so please.
All right, I'll get on it. I'll do some t-shirts this week, I promise.
I'm going to start writing them down.
Okay. Matt, can you save yourself? Can you save yourself, Matt, from scoring zero in this first round?
No.
Question three. What wood alternative instrument was Keith responsible for popularizing during the early 70s?
He played the Dan Armstrong guitars, which were Lucite?
That is absolutely correct. Woo! You have saved yourself. He did. He was one of the first people to play a Dan Armstrong. There's even a famous video of him showing Jimi Hendrix his... Lucite Dan Armstrong. In fact, they're mostly just chatting and using the back of the Dan Armstrong to rest their beers on. But nonetheless, Jimmy Hendrix does at one point. Yeah, exactly. Okay, so you want a Retro Twangers sandwich. So we're going to move on to your Retro Twangers round. Question one. Are you ready, Matt?
Yes.
That's correct. 1 point.
Yes.
Question one. What was the single pickup guitar that was included in the famous Silvertone amp in case?
What was the name of it?
Yes. Now, there were obviously several guitars in amp in case options, but one of them, only one of them, had a single pickup in the middle of the body. What was the name or number in the case of Silvertone?
I no idea. absolutely, I wouldn't even know where to guess. I'm going to go with Keith first.
It was the 1448. You would know that from watching any of the Guitar Nerds YouTube.
I probably did. I've just forgotten already.
Yeah. Well, it's an absolute. I love the 1448. It's incredibly cool. It's their sort of double cutaway model, but the 1448 had. It was like it had 18 frets, and it was a completely hollow bodied, but you know, with a Masonite top on it, and just with a single pickup in the middle, so would have weighed absolutely nothing, capable of just one sound, just an incredibly cool guitar.
Absolutely terrible guitar tones until someone recorded with it in about 1999. Oh, it's the best thing ever, and now they're like $3,000.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'd love to be able to get one, but they are very expensive these days. Question two: what are the controls on a Danelectro DC-59?
This is some sort of trick question. DC 59. I'm going to go with volume and bass. I'm just going to go volume tone. I don't know, but I'm sure it's a trick question.
Okay, so you don't think they've got any pickup selectors on there or anything like that?
No.
Okay,
That's not what you asked.
Well, okay, fine. The controls are concentric anyway on a DC 59, so it's volume, tone.
Not always
they
true.
Weren't, the three they weren't on my one.
Yeah.
Well, they certainly are on the current model. So,
I think that's worth a point.
No, it's. I'm afraid not. okay, question three: what is the name of the current model Danelectro short scale bass?
I'm going to go with the Longhorn.
That is correct. Once again, saving yourself.
I was going to say Shorthorn, and then I was like, that's probably not a thing, is it?
Well, the DC-59 bass is known as the Shorthorn commonly, but yes, the Longhorn is the short, incredibly short scale, in fact, 29 and a half inches, I think
not
it is.
Not short enough for me.
Very, very short, like less than, you know, the Gibson standard 30.5. So, yeah, incredibly short. Well, you know, your strings aren't going to be
probably
very
probably shouldn't taut. Call it the Longhorn.
Yes, absolutely. Anyway, are you ready for your last round? Your final round? You've got round three of the Rolling Stones. You've scored 2 points so far, putting you a point behind J Cross, 2 points behind Mark Packham. To win, you have to get full points in this round about the Rolling Stones. To draw with Mark, you have to get 2 points. And to draw with Jay, you need 1 point.
Okay.
Come on, here we go.
You know what to do. Take a dive.
What am I? Famous footballer? Mr.
Go on. Name one.
David Seaman.
Did you say David Seaman? We have to clarify that David Seaman has not taken a dive.
Gary Lineker.
Oh, Gary Lineker.
Good. So okay. You haven't named a footballer who's played football in about 15 years.
No, I can only think of the crisp flavours.
Yeah. Wait, David Seaman didn't have a crisp flavour, mate.
He had the best non-crisp flavour. I don't know if I can say the joke, but maybe I should.
Probably for the best, Matt. It's probably for the best.
Probably not for the for some of the audience on this one.
Okay.
Well, right. We Matt just won, didn't he?
Hey!
Well, we're going to find out. Quiz. We are going to find out because he's got three questions with which to make his mark. Okay, question one. Who gifted Keith Richards his famous Telecaster, known as Micawber, gifted to him on his 27th birthday? Who was it that gave him that guitar on his 27th birthday?
I'm going to go with Eric Clapton.
That is correct. That is absolutely correct. Things are heating up. Okay. Right. Okay, you've got two questions. You've got to get both of these right. What is the name of Keith Richards' famous Sunburst Telecaster? So not Micawber, which is obviously butterscotch. What is the name of his sunburst Telecaster?
Is it? Is it something dice? I want to say it's like risky dice. I know it sounds weird, but that was definitely something in your video. And I remember there was a guitar that had dice in the name and there was a dice sticker on it at one point.
That's correct. Unfortunately, that's correct about the video. Unfortunately, no, the dice guitar was his Les Paul Junior. I tried to give you an inflection in the name just to help you out here, but his sunburst Telecaster was known as Sunny.
Again, boring name. That's like calling a hamster Hammy.
My mate as a kid had a hamster called Hammy, and it had a heart attack in the night and died because it was having a bad dream.
Oh no,
that's awful. Why would you tell us that? You ruined my day.
How do they know it was having a bad dream? Did they do an autopsy or something?
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
Oh yeah, collected bad dream, this one. Yeah, the cat got in.
Hamster hospital sorted him right out.
Okay, Matt, you can't beat Mark Packham, but you can draw with him.
Join him.
Okay. So let's see if you can do it.
Hammy.
Are you ready?
R.I.P. Hammy.
Matt, I need your focus. I need your focus here, Matt.
That's the next T-shirt.
Yeah, I'm writing it down. I'm writing all of these down.
Okay, Matt, are you ready?
No.
What aluminium guitar brand made the signature Keith Richards 5-string guitar?
Oh, man. I don't think I even watched the end of the video, if I'm being
perfect. I didn't include this in the video.
All right.
It's worth a stab
brand.
In the dark, this one, Matty.
Aluminium guitar brand. Well, I can only think of one. But I have... There is another brand from around their sort of time. No, I'm just going to go with Electrical Guitar Company because it's the only one I could think.
Unfortunately, it was Travis Bean, the predecessor to Electrical Guitar Company.
I was gonna say Vox because I remember at one point we had one of those crazy Vox guitars come into GAC that was like a Vox that was made of aluminium, but it had an organ built into it as well.
That sounds incredible.
That's just the Vox organ guitar.
Yeah, the Vox organ guitar. Wow. And someone was like, can you repair this? And the guy repairing at the time was like, no. I think because it had an individual wire for each fret and each string.
Yeah.
What?
It has that. Exactly. That's how it makes the organ sound. So it's basically a synth that triggers a note when you push a string down on a fret. And then each fret is basically wired into the sort of brain part of the guitar. That's how it knows what note you're playing.
I think the story goes that they built like five of them or something. They eventually made 400, gave one to John Lennon, and he was like, this is terrible. And then apparently someone found out, and then they never really sold any.
Well, there you go. Well, Mark Packham.
Yes.
Congratulations. Because once again, we are crowning you the victor of the Guitar Nerds.
The Victor Meldrew of the Guitar Nerds.
That is true.
R.I.P. Hammy.
With a whopping 4 out of a possible 9 points, you have thwarted.
Joe, do you ever like stop and think that maybe the quizzes you make are too hard?
Yeah, I thought I was making them really easy. I've got to be honest. Like every
this Silvertone guitar that none of us have ever seen
every
and
single
was discontinued
answer.
In 1961?
True, but every single answer was from a Guitar Nerds YouTube video.
Well, I think that says more about us than you.
Well, there you go. Anyway, that concludes our three-part mini quiz that we've been running to decipher who was the nerdiest of all nerds. And it was Mark Packham, so well done, Mark.
Of course.
We're going to move on now, and we're not going to move on now. Before we move on... Oh, sorry, I'm constantly seeing updates on our documents for this, but no, I do want to talk about this. Jay Cross, let's talk about The Shadows.
Yeah, so I don't know if you saw it this week, but on BBC Four, I think it was a new documentary celebrating the 60th anniversary, maybe. Not sure. There was a documentary on The Shadows that was really, really interesting. And I mean, I didn't really know that much about them, to be honest with you. I mean, I knew that they were Cliff Richard's backing band to begin with, and then they went off and sort of did their own thing. Obviously, I knew about Hank Marvin, but I didn't really realise that the kind of core members of the group had been together for such a long time. I mean, Brian Welch who is the other guitar player in The Shadows, went to school with Hank Marvin. They went to school together and up in Newcastle, and they were in a band that entered like a skiffle, the UK skiffle band Battle of the Bands, I guess, whatever that was called back then. And they came down to London. They didn't win, but they just stayed in London. They just found a Geordie who would put up a couple of 16-year-olds, and they stayed with them for a while and sort of tried to become a band. And the story is really, really interesting. And they've got quotes from, interviews from a bunch of people. Cliff Richard's really heavily involved. And it's really good. It's a really, really well worth a watch documentary. It's only an hour long. There's some super nerdy bits in there. Like there's a really good bit where someone in Australia, which is where Hank Marvin lives, comes over and speaks to him about his guitar. And it's a conversation that we have all had a million times in the guitar shop. And it's nice to know that Hank Marvin himself gets those questions. so yeah, I really recommend it. I thought it was super interesting and well worth a watch. And what was really cool is Brian Welch, as I say, the rhythm guitar player of the Shadows, he still has the guitar. He's still got the Fiesta Red Strat.
Yeah.
It's going to be worth so much money.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you just can't put... I mean, how can you put a price on it? It's just...
That will be one of the most expensive guitars ever sold.
Without a doubt. Yeah.
I just want to know what guitar will eventually overtake the David Gilmour Strat. Is that guitar more famous?
How much did that go for?
4.5 million.
I don't think it's more famous, but I think the thing is that the David Gilmour Strat kind of surpasses being just a guitar, because it's David Gilmour's, and so people who are into Pink Floyd as a band, as opposed to the gear that Pink Floyd use, would be into that. Hank Marvin Strat, you know, it, as we've said a million times on the podcast, I'm not spoiling anything here. They are pretty sure it was the first Strat to ever make it into the UK.
Yeah, absolutely.
The cultural significance of that to, you know, the about seven or eight people who will ever care, enormous.
But you've got to think of the knock-on effect of that, because, you know, you see that happening and then, like, basically... that kind of whole thing. Like, you forget The Shadows were like slightly before people like the Beatles.
Totally.
Like, the knock-on effect of that, like proper, you know, electrified rock and roll being in the UK, that was like the catalyst for all of the stuff that came out of the UK.
Completely. And, you know, they do touch on that, and they say how, you know, they have interviews with like Pete Townsend saying that the Shadows were an enormous influence on them. And then they talk about when they first heard the Beatles, and they were like, wow, this is something really different. And same with the Rolling Stones. And, you know, music kind of just catapulted and changed so quickly that they kind of got left behind a little bit. All that said, I don't know that makes that guitar necessarily worth more than David Gilmour's Black Strat, because it's just so iconic.
The thing that I think might kind of hinder that being so much more, you know, being more money, and I hate to say it, is that, like, the people that are really into the Shadows are like knocking on a bit now.
Careful, Mark. No, you're about to say something uncouth.
No, I'm not. What I'm trying to say is because they were that bit earlier.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
they.
Yeah,
I mean, when would they start? When did they start being Cliff's backing band? 1958, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
I was going to say the opposite, just because I think that. You know, I think people who like the Shadows really like the Shadows. I think they've got some real sort of hardcore fans even to now. And I actually think that's absolutely the age demographic of people who are going to have that sort of money to splurge on something.
Well, what I'm trying to get across, Joe, is that not all of those people might still be with us. That's the, without getting morbid, I kind of feel like they're either, you know, at an age where perhaps buying a very expensive guitar is not something that's on the radar anymore, or, you know, it's moved on kind of past that stage. But, I think it's very, that guitar is very historically significant. Will it go for more than the Gilmore? I'm not sure it would.
Yeah, that's the thing. But, really, really, really interesting. Really good documentary. I would strongly recommend watching it if you get a chance. I'll tell you the biggest shock for me, and maybe this is a spoiler, but it's not because it's just a bit of real life. Brian Welch, did you know he was engaged to Olivia Newton-John?
Really?
How about that? Yeah. That's incredible. But
I'm just on the Shadows Wikipedia right now. So, like, obviously, you know, I knew that they were Cliff's backing band, and that was what, 58 to 68, I think.
Yeah, I think they started doing their own stuff a little bit earlier than that.
No, the first Shadows album on its own is 1961. So
But they didn't split off. They continued to be his backing band.
You're right. What I want to hear is like an album from, you know, what does like Life in the Jungle from 1982 sound like?
Again, they kind of touch on that in the documentary, and they say how basically like they really struggled towards the end of the 60s and through the 70s because people weren't interested in that sort of music. And then, you know, late 70s, John Peel kind of comes around. He's like, listen, to be honest with you, I still really like the Shadows. It's just not very cool to say it. And then they're like, no, maybe we'll give it another go. And they just have this enormous resurgence because of the nostalgia kick, because all of a sudden the people that were into them 20 years ago, they're not driven by, well, I can't listen to the Shadows anymore because the Beatles and the Rolling Stones and the Beach Boys are, you know, doing all this cool stuff. They had a second wind.
I guess that
record probably sounds the same as Apache.
It kind of plays out actually in, like, I'm just looking at the chart positions for their albums. So the first two both got to number one, and then as the 60s goes on, it sort of dwindles to the point where an album in 1967 doesn't chart by the looks of things.
Wow.
Then the album Rockin' with Curly Leeds in 1973 gets to number 45 in the chart. But then, yeah, they have a real resurgence in 1979. So String of Hits, which I guess is a greatest hits album.
Yeah, it was.
No.
I think...
No, it's not. It's them covering recent hit singles.
Okay, yeah.
But that went to number one.
They did. There's a great cover of Don't Cry For Me, Argentina. And yeah. It's just exactly what you expected.
So, yeah, they had a bit more of a run in the mid-70s, like you're saying, and then they had an album in 1990 that got to number five in the album charts.
Wow, how about that?
Yeah.
I mean, one thing that I really didn't appreciate is this thing from the Wikipedia page. The Shadows are the fourth most successful band in the UK singles chart, and that is excluding Cliff Richard, who's number three. So actually, they're probably like four and also three and a half. Like the only artists who've sold more than them are Elvis Presley and the Beatles. That's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah.
They're a very cool band.
Big deal. Really big deal.
So, and you know, you think about it, those big selling records came out, what, 60 years ago? I mean, all of those, you know, Elvis, the Beatles, Cliff Richard, and the Shadows. I mean, it shows you kind of where music buying has gone over the preceding half century. It's crazy.
I never learned a Shadows riff. That's the really? One thing I never did.
No, you've come on. Know. Everyone should go and wait and do it. Everyone. Listeners, this is your chance. I'm giving you the green light. Post me your Shadows riffs on the Guitar Nerds Facebook forum. I want to see some. I really like the Shadows. I want to see some more Shadows riffs going on.
I tell you what, my absolute favourite bit of the entire documentary was when they showed a clip of the Shadows playing on Top of the Pops in the late 70s or the early 80s, and Hank Marvin's there with a Gertrude badge with the Chaz and Dave pin
yes.
right front and center on his jacket. It looks wicked. And actually, right after watching that, I went on eBay and I found that original Gertrude pin from 1979. And I've got it on its way to me now.
I'm very jealous. Incredibly jealous.
Excellent. Well done, Jay Cross. Anyway, we were going to do some... do some news, because there were some very exciting things that I wanted to talk about, and we certainly said we were going to talk about some news, but I'm afraid that's in fact it. We've run out of time on this week's episode.
Should
of
we
the
do
Guitar
a news
Nerds
special
podcast.
Next week?
We, so maybe we will. We maybe, can't commit to what, this because we why say
don't we do
it
a
all
question
the time.
Special well, and then never air it?
Yeah.
So we will. So next week we're actually announcing a brand new giveaway, which I'll give you details on next week. And we will do a new special because there's some really exciting things. So we will, yeah, we will do that. We'll do that then. But yes, this is the end of our free episode of the Guitar Nerds podcast. You can, of course, go over onto our Patreon at patreon.com/guitarnerds to enjoy an extra episode every single week.
Don't commit to too much. You can listen to, you know.
Well, yes. You can support us on Patreon anyway from just as little as a dollar a month. A dollar a month will get you this episode ad-free and early. $5 a month will get you that again and access to all of our other series, all of our mini-series, and the current Patreon special series that Matt and I are doing, The Pedals That Made Us. And at the $10 tier, you can become an executive producer and enjoy all those benefits, plus the prestigious honour of having your name featured in our podcast song, sung at the end of each episode. You can follow us on all the major social platforms with @GuitarNerds, and join us on Facebook at facebook.com/groups/GuitarNerdsForum. Thanks very much for tuning in. Oh, we'll be back next week with more of this guitar nerdery. Farewell.
R.I.P. Hammy.
Rest- oh, you got in there before.
Wait. Why is the hamster a thing?
R.I.P. Hammy.
Scott Harting, Simon Middlemore, Kazal, Kadawaka, Stuart Watts, Neil Milton, Rob Bustle, Christian Lund Hansen, Keith Adams, and Eric Fowle. All the guitar. Edwards and Nate, Stephen Brown, Aaron Sherman, David Lee, Edwin James, Maker, and Benjamin Grave, Blake Wyland, Scott Kennedy, Christopher Lossett, and Sam Sturgridge, Rob Nordwick, Steve Markle, J.D. Short, and Robert Smith, oh, Brad Page, oh, Annie McKenzie, and Scott O'Brien, Paul Corrigan, Will Glell, and Paul Gravel. Oh,
Well, I guess I should go do something else.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.